a Saturday morning to everybody, and welcome to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show, along with Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services of the CCA. I'm Gary Byron. Chris, good morning there, my friend.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Oh, not too shabby.
Wow. After that, I was expecting some major revelation
greatness. No. So far,
I mean,
so
other than what was always evident.
Well, let me knock on wood here. I mean, I don't want to jinx myself. So far, so good. I don't want to ruin and go from, from good to bad. So,
okay.
How was your Easter, by the way?
Easter was wonderful.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Yeah, I got to spend it with the grandkids, and it was just really nice going to Mass together with them. Just a beautiful experience. It was a great holiday.
You know, every time you talk about your grandkids, you light up.
You think so?
No, I don't think so. I know so.
Well, I'll tell you what.
You can't see what I see.
It's nice. So. It's nice that God has been good enough to grace us with these little creatures that seem to, love us, and we love them, and it's great.
You should see yourself sometime when he doesn't. How could he? Yeah. It's very evident.
Hey, what can I tell you?
Of course, why shouldn't you?
My 2-year-old granddaughter pop, and it's like, she's the first girl in generations.
Nick,
so she is the princess. I have boys. My brother has boys. My father had boys. I mean, that's just how it's been.
So, are they into like the whole bunny and the eggs and the did they go?
Oh, we did the Easter. I took them for an Easter egg hunt on Saturday, Holy Saturday, and they met the Easter bunny and all that stuff. But we all know what they know, even at their young ages,
I enjoy both.
Yeah, exactly. There's a nice mix. You can do both.
Absolutely, you can do both. I tell people all the time, Christmas as well.
You see a lot more chocolate bunnies than you do chocolate crosses. That's all I got to say.
Are there chocolate crosses?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Where do you get a chocolate cross? I was going to say.
I don't know. Chocolate church?
Hey. Maybe.
Ba-dum-bum.
No, I'm glad. Did you have a nice meal, too?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Oh, yeah. Dude, my wife is a chef. She's not just a cook. She's a chef. Are you kidding me? Look at me. You can tell.
The Guy Fieri of the neighborhood, huh?
She's awesome. Yeah.
You're lucky.
That was a great meal. I am.
Without a doubt, with beautiful children, grandchildren, a wife, a home, a great career.
Why I got so lucky is beyond me.
Well, you ever wonder why some people have it easier than others? Russell Stover makes chocolate crosses, by the way.
I'm sure there's a bunch of companies out there that do.
You just don't see them. You got to order them. You don't see them you see them online. You don't see them in stores.
Yeah, not too many.
That's too bad.
Yeah, that is a shame, because it used to be you'd go into the grocery or in the candy aisle of a drugstore years ago when I was a kid, and there'd be chocolate crosses all over the place.
Well, there's not many drugstores, first of all. It's CVS and Walgreens, and I said like national chains.
But even in those chains, you would walk in years ago, and you would see, tons of chocolate crosses during Easter time. Now there's none. You can't find one. Yeah, you don't want to go down that road with me now.
No,
not today.
No.
This is too important a show. We don't want to talk about that stuff.
Well, you want to get right into it.
Well, I tell you what.
There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah. I don't know if I can do it justice. But
even in one show, huh? So even if we start early, like right now?
Even if we start now, we could probably do 2 or 3 shows on this. We could make this a Divine Mercy radio program.
So we could make this like a to be continued?
Maybe. We'll see where it goes.
All right.
Because with us, we never know.
Do you want to talk about some DOLs first, or do you want to? Why don't we do that first? Because I have a feeling when we get onto the topic, it's going to take us right to the last second.
So as we've said in the past, the Dignity of Life seminars, which are really wonderful seminars for people to attend to learn about all kinds of end-of-life issues. The next one is on April 20th, and that's on Thursday from 6 to 7:30 at St. Francis of Assisi Church in Naugatuck. Following that is May 11th from 6 to 7:30 at St. Louis Church in West Haven, and May 18th at 2 o'clock at St. Leo the Great in Waterbury. And again, if you go to our website at ccacemlikemary.com, you will see the full list. There are many that people can choose from, and I invite them all because I think they're great programs.
I'm not familiar with St. Louis.
Oh, it's in Missouri. It's a really nice place. It's got an arch.
No, who he was a saint?
Oh, St. Louis.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. St. Louis de Montfort.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Oh, he's actually a big time saint.
Okay.
Yeah, very devoted, devoted to the Blessed Mother.
Were there small time saints too, or?
Well, I think all of us are striving to at least be some kind of small time saints.
No.
You know.
I don't think I'll ever get.
It's not like
I'm not
that I would take anything away from either of you guys, but I don't think you or me are in line to get canonized anytime soon. So
no, probably not.
You got to hope that we just die in a state of grace and that we make it up there.
That's it. I was going to say, I mean, I just want to be able to live a decent life where I'm worthy of entering the pearly gates.
There you go. Where St. Peter doesn't just look and see you and start laughing.
You know, but I'm not overconfident, but I'm confident that I would enter the kingdom.
You think so?
Yeah.
See, I don't ever take that for granted.
I don't take it for granted. I don't have a crystal. I don't know.
I'm not confident of it. Not for me.
I think I've just because I'm confident with the life that I've lived.
And it's because of the life I've lived that I'm not that confident. You know, thank God for confession. I mean, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, reconciliation, I mean,
sure,
life would be
hopeless. You teased us a little bit with getting the show off a little less banter this morning and getting into the nitty gritty of the purpose of the topic of this morning's show.
Sure.
Why don't you announce that and then I'll take it from there.
Well, one of the beauties of the devotions in the Catholic Church is the Feast of Divine Mercy. The Feast of Divine Mercy is actually the first Sunday after Easter. Okay, it's the end of the Easter octave. And it was St. John Paul II who formally made the second Sunday of Easter, or the first Sunday after Easter, to be Divine Mercy Sunday. The subject of divine mercy is one I think that we could literally spend days on because it's so deep.
I know. We talked about it in the past.
And, you know, if you just talk about the general aspects of it, it's not deep. But to really understand it, as Catholics, what the underlying basis is and what it's all about, you know, it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of, I think, work to make it come across. And I told you before the show, I said, I don't even think I'm capable of being able to do a good job with it, but I'm going to do my best to try and to talk about it.
But by the way, we're talking about tomorrow. Tomorrow, right, is the first Sunday after this.
Correct.
After Easter Sunday. So, okay. You've told me in the past that it's one of your favorites.
It is.
I remember this. We talked about it last year, I think even the year before.
Yeah.
The Divine Mercy Sunday. So let's what exactly is it? Let's start with the basics.
So Divine Mercy Sunday, it's, as I said, celebrated on the second Sunday of Easter. It's a feast day in our church, as well as most, you know, even Protestant, Anglican in particular, or Episcopal churches. And it's based on the Catholic devotion to Divine Mercy. And Divine Mercy was the devotion that was fostered by a nun, little Polish nun named Faustina Kowalska, and she was the person who, throughout her time as a nun, received messages from Jesus. And this is documented. This isn't like just flaky stuff. And when we talk a little bit more about her, you'll start to understand why. But the main message of Divine Mercy is that we as a world need to understand that Christ is opening his heart, his most compassionate heart, to all of us, and that we should be taking advantage of the mercy that he is offering. And the only way to take advantage of that is to meditate on it, to adore it, and to really grasp hold of the fact that Christ is offering us his mercy, which means we should be turning away from sin, repenting. And the reason that it's so important, especially during this time, is that his time of mercy is followed by his time of justice. So, you know, there's talk always about the second coming. Everybody from every age thought that Jesus was coming for the second time, anytime. You know, the world's a terrible place. Oh, my gosh, you know Christ is coming. Second coming, anytime. I'm sure, you know, 2,000 years ago, the apostles were saying, you know, well, when Jesus comes back, when Jesus comes back. Now, here it is 2,000 years later, he still ain't shown up. Well, you know, through these interlocutions that St. Faustina has had and the investigation that went into this, approving the fact that this actually happened, you know, he's telling us, this is the time of my mercy. And this mercy is followed by the time of my justice, my terrible justice. So that kind of tells you that what's coming when he finally decides to show up is not going to be pretty for those that don't live their lives a certain way. So, yeah, that's why it's so important, because mercy is, this is the time. This is the time to take care of his mercy and fully immerse yourself in it.
There's a couple of different directions I can go here.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to do both, but I'm trying to think which one I'm going to do first. I'm going to do both, though.
All right,
St. Faustino.
Yes.
Let's go there first.
Okay.
He had a visitation with Jesus.
Sister Mary Faustino.
Oh, I'm sorry, did I say he?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. She had a visitation from Jesus.
Yes. She didn't have one. She had many.
Talk about that.
She had many during her life. First, here's what you need to understand about her, because this is what all lends credence to what has happened. She was, from the age of seven, she was the middle child of eight kids in her household. There was a poor family. Mm-hmm. From the age of seven, she knew she wanted to be in the religious life. Her parents would not allow her to go into the religious life because they needed her to do work around the house, and ultimately, by age 14, being out working in the workforce to get money to help support her family as well as herself.
Okay.
She never made it through more than 3 years of schooling. Okay. So this was not someone that was well-versed in being able to write. This is not someone who was well-versed, well-educated, and can write beautifully. This is a person that, bare minimum, mm-hmm. okay, reading, writing, arithmetic, the very basics. And because of that education, when she finally did become a nun, she, most of her work was spent in cleaning and doing some baking, but mostly doing the low-level work that, you know, uneducated people do, okay? But she had this inner beauty, this inner devotion to the Eucharist that ultimately Jesus chose her to be the apostle for divine mercy in the world. And what that means is she wrote a diary, and you can publish it. You can buy this diary. I've got it. I've read it. You look at the way this diary is written, and these were her handwritten words.
Oh.
Impossible for someone with that education to be able to write like this. It's just not possible. Physically impossible. Did not have the knowledge of the words. These were Jesus' words that she was writing down.
Where was she meeting him physically?
At night, in her room.
In her mind?
In her mind.
Okay.
Visitations in her mind. She did see him, where he actually came to her in a form where from his heart was a ray of white light and a ray of red light. And he told her, this is the image that I want painted as a symbol of my divine mercy. If you go into any Catholic church, you will see that image. Okay? That's how... I mean, this is the real deal. This is completely approved by the church that these things actually happened. He said, here's how I look. This is what I want my image to look like. Mm-hmm. And that is the image that she, in conjunction with the pastor of her, the priest of her congregation, because he started investigating all this and realized, hey, this is true. So he found a painter for her. And she explained exactly what Jesus wanted. And when he finally hit on what it was that Jesus said, that became the image of divine mercy. So she's, and she died at age 33. Mm-hmm. Sound familiar? Somebody else you know died at age 33?
Jesus himself.
Was very sick through the last 3 years of her life. But from the time she became a nun to the time that she passed away, she was getting all of these interlocutions as well as some visits by Jesus, and Jesus was telling her all about his divine mercy. and how important it was for the world to turn to his mercy and his compassion and call on that mercy. Okay? Jesus also told her that people should be praying something called the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. It's a very simple prayer. It takes about 7 minutes to do it. You can use rosary beads to go through it. I'm not going to go through the whole chaplet, but he also gave certain promises about praying that chaplet. And there's just so much behind this, okay? But go ahead. I can see you've got...
Well, okay, no, I mean, I'm curious as how the church, how does the Catholic Church suggest or recommend that we celebrate the Divine Mercy Sunday tomorrow?
Well, okay.
We know Easter, we know Palm Sunday and Holy Thursday and Good Friday and Holy Saturday, and of course Easter Sunday. We've talked about that.
Right.
But how does it recommend that we celebrate tomorrow, the divine?
Well, I think that what it comes down to is what it was that Christ asked of Faustina to share with the world, okay? And what he said to her to do, especially at the hour of 3 o'clock. Now, what happened at the hour of 3 o'clock on Good Friday?
He was crucified.
He died.
Yeah.
Okay? And he told Faustina, St. Faustina, that on Divine Mercy Sunday, if you pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy with a truly repentant heart, attempting to be completely devoid of sinful thoughts, the church will grant a plenary indulgence. Okay? Now what's a plenary indulgence? You talk about mercy. A plenary indulgence means that if you do the things prescribed for that indulgence, you not only are forgiven your sins, but you are forgiven the punishment that is due those sins. Okay? Mm. That's huge. Because most of us go through life as Catholics and we go to confession and maybe we have mortal sins and venial sins that we confess, so our soul is cleansed of those sins. But the punishment that God has as a just God doesn't go away because you got to pay for what you've done.
Yeah.
The difference is you get to go to heaven or purgatory. You get to go to purgatory to pay for those. And then once all that's paid up, then you get to go to heaven. Well, what he's telling us is that if you do this, you don't have to, if you die right after you get a plenary indulgence, you go straight to heaven because you'll have not only have no sins, but you'll also have no punishment to do those sins. That's a huge thing. And when you talk about ultimate God's mercy, and all he's asking is that at 3 o'clock, preferably, but it doesn't have to be at 3, but he prefers it to be at 3 because it is a complete union with the suffering of his compassionate heart at the time that he died, that we should offer these prayers, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. But if you do it on Divine Mercy Sunday, if you go to confession, and if you receive communion, and then you contemplate for 15 minutes the needs of the Holy Father, you will get a plenary indulgence, which is huge. It's absolutely huge. Also associated with that for Catholics is the Novena to Divine Mercy, which starts on Good Friday, and it runs from Good Friday to Divine Mercy Sunday.
The piano, what is it?
It's called the Novena to
Novena.
Divine Mercy.
Okay.
And on every day of that Novena, it talks about what souls God is bringing to them, souls that have been away from the church, souls that are lukewarm, souls that are pious, okay? It's a beautiful Novena. We do it every year. I mean, we've been doing it at least 15 years, every Good Friday to Divine Mercy Sunday. And that also gives you a plenary indulgence, okay? So it's a great, I mean, it's an amazing deal. So as Catholics, that's really what we should be focusing on, not only to get the plenary indulgence, but more importantly, to understand what the meaning is of God's mercy and why it's so important for us to take advantage of his mercy that's being poured out. Because as he told Sister Faustina, after my mercy comes my just judgment.
Folks, you are listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show along with Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services. I'm Gary Byron. Of course, you can always contact the Catholic Cemeteries Association toll-free at 800-505-0080. What is plenary indulgence? And how exactly does it actually relate to the sacrament of reconciliation?
Well, the plenary indulgence is basically what I just talked about, which is the ability to not only have your sins forgiven, but also the punishment that is associated with them, okay? And how it relates to confession is really important, because you can't get your sins forgiven unless you go to confession.
Right.
So the reason it's called reconciliation confession, the reason it's called reconciliation is you're reconciling your soul.
I get that.
Okay.
I guess it was more the term plenary and indulgence. I wasn't, you've used it.
Yeah.
And I was a little foggy on that. That's all.
Oh, yeah. No, okay. But a plenary indulgence, an indulgence in the words of the church is that you are doing something. You are accomplishing something. Okay. You are indulging. That means you are taking certain steps. Okay.
Yeah.
And the plenary indulgence versus a temporary or a partial means it is complete. Okay. So, and what a plenary indulgence within the church means is that it is the complete remission of sin as well as the punishment that is due you. So plenary indulgences, there's many different ones. For instance, on Good Friday, if you go and do the Stations of the Cross, mm-hmm. go to confession, receive Holy Communion, spend 15 minutes praying for the intentions of the Holy Father, you're granted a plenary indulgence. Okay? You can get, and as Catholics, we can get a plenary indulgence every day. You can get one a day if you can find the things to do that qualify as a plenary indulgence. You can't, and the other good thing is, you can also offer your indulgence for the souls of the deceased. You can't offer it for another living person, but you can offer it for the souls of the deceased.
Okay.
So if you had a parent, for instance, that passed away, and you wanted to try and help them in some way, you could do a plenary indulgence as a means of helping them get through purgatory much quickly, or much more quicker, if that's the way to say
it. Out of curiosity, I'm thinking of this, tomorrow, of the Divine Mercy. Is there a national shrine of the Divine Mercy?
Actually is. And guess where it is?
I wouldn't know.
It's 20 minutes from here.
Oh, come on. Are you serious?
Yeah. It's right up the road. It's.
I'm glad I asked.
It's in the Berkshires in Stockbridge, Massachusetts.
Okay. Well, it's a little more than 20 minutes.
Well, a little bit.
About 40 minutes.
Maybe 40 minutes. It's located on 350 acres in an area called Eldon Hill. Mm-hmm. They do a huge mass on Divine Mercy Sunday. Thousands of people show up in this little church that's part of the grounds. It's owned by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception, and it is a absolutely beautiful place to go to. You can do Stations of the Cross outside. They have these beautiful stations set up. And of course, everything that you want to know about Divine Mercy, you can find there. It's an absolutely wonderful place. I've been there many times.
Yeah.
I would absolutely hope to encourage as many people as possible that if they can find some time to run up there and spend especially on Divine Mercy Sunday, mm-hmm. spend some time, if not on that Sunday, at least visit and see what it's all about, because it's really an amazing place. One thing that I want to talk to you
Please.
About, because I think it's important to not leave out, is there are certain promises that Jesus made about Divine Mercy. And what he said is, I promise the soul that will venerate this image, meaning that picture that I explained to you earlier, that the soul will not perish. I also promise victory over its enemies already here and on earth, especially at the hour of death. I myself will defend it as my own glory. That's huge. So if you venerate this image of Divine Mercy on a regular basis, Jesus is telling you, I'm going to stand before you and anybody else so that when you're dying, you're coming with me. That's huge. Whoever will recite it will receive great mercy at the hour of death. That's just saying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. in line with that, the souls that say this chaplet will be embraced by my mercy during their lifetime, and especially at the hour of their death. Now, the reason he keeps referring to the hour of death, the reason that's important in our Catholic faith is that is the time when the devil does his best to flip you. No matter what he's tried to do and tempt you in life, at that moment when you're dying and you know it's the end and you're scared, the worst possible time, he's going to dig in there and try and do something. Well, he's going to have Jesus standing in front of him, beating him away to keep you from getting, to making a bad choice or going down a bad road, as well, I might add, his mother.
Now at the hour of our death.
Amen.
Amen.
Right? When this chaplet is said by the bedside of a dying person, God's anger is placated. Unfathomable mercy envelops the soul, and the very depths of my tender mercy are moved for the sake of the sorrowful passion of my son. When my mother-in-law, I was present at her death, which I said to you once was a beautiful death, if you can imagine that as being true. I didn't call the first thing I did when she passed away was I did the chaplet of divine mercy for her. Now, she was happened to be an extremely holy woman, but you never know because you can't take anything for granted. It was the first thing I did. And then I went and got the doctors and the nurses and, you know, whatever. Souls who spread the honor of my mercy at the hour of their death, I will not be a judge for them, but their merciful Savior. So, you know, the more that you talk about his mercy, the more that you spread that, the more that you pray the chaplet of divine mercy, the venerate the image of his mercy, you are pretty much guaranteeing yourself a spot in heaven.
All right. Folks, if you'd like more information on the Catholic Cemeteries Association, it is very easy to obtain. Simply head on to the internet at www.ccacem.org. If you'd like to email the Catholic Cemeteries Association or maybe even submit a question or a comment to this very show, you can email us at ccawdrc@gmail.com. And the phone number is toll free, 800-505-0080. Again, it's toll free, 800-505-0080. For Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services of the CCA, I'm Gary Byron. Thank you so much for listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show. Until next Saturday morning, have a good one, everybody. So long. We'll be right back.